بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ وی موڈ آن ٹو دا سکسٹھ سیشن دا وے ڈسکسنگ دا گلوریس ڈیڈ آف عمرہ اینڈ آلسو دا بلیسڈ حرم اینڈ یسٹرڈے آئی مینشنڈ سم آف دا آلسم ریوارڈس فار آفرنگ دا پریئر in both Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Masjid al-Haram with the use of the miswak and the turban. So just to give you the reward without any of the proofs, if you offer the obligatory prayer in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having used the miswak and wearing the imamah, then that prayer is greater than 700 million offered individually, which amounts to around 400,000 years. SubhanAllah. And if you offer one of the obligatory prayers around the Holy Kaaba, having used the miswak, wearing the imamah, it is greater than 70 billion individual prayers, which amounts to around 40 million years. But note the key word is greater. We still haven't reached the exact amount. So this is how easily you can acquire the awesome blessings when you enter the sacred sanctuaries. So now, keeping that in mind, the following report will be more appreciated. In Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih Targhib number 894, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who enters the house, then enters Hasana, and thus leaves with his sins forgiven. SubhanAllah. He who enters the house, then enters Hasana, and thus leaves with his sins forgiven. So in this authentic report, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that when you enter the sanctuary, you've entered the divine mercy, i.e. the divine blessings are descending. And when you leave that sacred sanctuary, you leave with your sins forgiven. So note, he's just giving you the answer here. He's not going into any great detail in how it's happening. But for the last few nights, we can appreciate what is taking place around the Holy Kaaba. And this is why there's a report in Tabarani, Bazar, Hakim and his Mustadrak, Ibn Hibban, Sahih, Targhib number 848. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَسْتَمْتِعُوا بِهَذَا الْبَيْتِ Seek the benefit from this house. SubhanAllah. أَسْتَمْتِعُوا بِهَذَا الْبَيْتِ Seek the benefit from this house. So think about that. If it was just a structure, how do you get benefit from just a structure? The Prophet was telling you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you can take from this house. In fact, I encourage you to take blessings. Or blessings from this great house of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For instance, in the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, seek help with sabr and salah. Ista'inu bi sabri wa salah. So how do you seek help? With sabr. It means it's a wasila to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you offer salat, it's a means of getting the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our beloved messenger said the same for the house. أَسْتَمْتِعُ بِهَذَا الْبَيْتِ Seek benefit from this house. Meaning this, you can take so much from the house. You can increase your rewards. You can take out your sins. You can get shafa, cure from illness. You can get your needs fulfilled. The Prophet says, do this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yesterday I mentioned that the reward for the salat increases 100,000 times. Greater than 100,000 times. According to many of the scholars, when you enter the haram, i.e. around the Holy Kaaba, every deed you do multiplies more than 100,000 times. Now, you have to put that into a perspective. What that means is, when you enter the Holy Sanctuary, you are now getting more reward, 100 times more reward than you get for deeds in the month of Ramadan. out of Ramadan. I said that again. When you are doing your deeds in the month of Ramadan, a weak hadith says your rewards multiply 70 times. It's weak. Authentic report says 1,000 plus. So when you do 2 rakat nafil in Ramadan, it's equivalent to around 2,000 rakat nafil. So what do you notice people start doing in the month of Ramadan? Because of the calculation, they increase their deeds. Because we're getting the multiple benefits. We'll read more Quran. We'll do more nafil. MashaAllah. Then what about the haram? Because people don't prepare. Somebody goes, you're doing it in Ramadan, you're going flatter, mashallah, very intelligent. Before it goes back to normal wage, you want to work hard. When you enter the sanctuary, you're getting more than 100 times the month of Ramadan. Think about that. So let's put that into perspective. You offer a 2 rakat nafl around the Kaaba. That's more than 200,000 rakat nafl. More than. When on earth are you going to do that in your lifetime? Right? You read one letter of the Quran. That's more than 2 million good deeds for one letter. Alif Lam Mim, 6 million good deeds. Or even more so. Because the letter normally is, you get the reward of 10 good deeds. Times that by more than 100,000, 3 million good deeds for Alif Lam Mim. When are you going to get that? Millions of good deeds for each letter of the Quran. So read the Quran. Think about that. You read one juz of the Quran around the Kaaba. That's more than 100,000 juz. 30 juz is one khatam of the Quran. So how many khatams have you done by reading one juz? No, you work here, you do the maths. So think about that. When you enter, you should be running to get into the sanctuary. Because there Allah Ta'ala is blasting that holy place. He wants to give His unending treasures. But He gives the most to those around the Kaaba. But what do people do? They waste their time shopping malls. You know, what the heck is going on there? Astaghfirullah. Imagine, I need to have a kip. Right? Imagine, Allah Ta'ala has given you, He's given you paradise on a plate and you're having a kip. He's given you, the ranks to get up to the highest ranks. You're buying clothing. Right? So that's why when you're in Makkah, you should be going around the sanctuary, spending time there. Everything multiplies according, and I'll give you the proofs when I talk about the blessed city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's not just tawaf. You understand? Right? You might feel tired. So I'll read the Quran. I'll sit down. I'll read the Quran. I'll do some nafil prayers. And also very important, don't forget to pass it on to the dead. Because you're on maximum wage. Now think about that. How holy is the sanctuary? That outside the month of Ramadan, a normal month, it's 100 times greater than the month of Ramadan. Has anybody bothered telling you that? Astaghfirullah. Imagine. What about in the month of Ramadan? Computer fail, okay, right? Somebody goes to you, I don't know what's happening in Ramadan, brother. Everything's multiplied another 1,000 times on top of that. Right? So, there you go. So, keep these things in mind. Now, the Kaaba, this is a very interesting report. The hadith is in Deir Lami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 6964. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this sacred house is the very pillar of Islam. Subhanallah. This very house, or this sacred house, is the very pillar of Islam. Look how amazing these words are. So if Islam was the roof, what's holding it up? The holy Kaaba is the pillar of Islam. Now what does that mean? It means if the pillar goes, what happens to Islam? It's gone. And how do we know that's true? Because what did our beloved messenger say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the signs at the end of time. A young or a short, dark Abyssinian with distorted wrists will dismantle the Kaaba and take the treasures. And this is just before the hour. Sahih hadith. Why? Because there's no Muslims. But how symbolic is it that Allah Ta'ala does not let the hour strike until the Kaaba is dismantled? Why? Because it's the pillar of Islam. Once he dismantles that pillar, there's no, it's gone. Khalas, finished. And just picture that one day somebody will be doing that. The Prophet actually said, I can see him. And it hasn't still yet happened. And it won't happen with the Muslims on the earth. Meaning that Allah holds back Qiyamah for the sake of the Kaaba. Think about that. How sacred is it? Also, inshallah, we'll be amongst these fortunate souls. Hafiz al-Ajluni in his Kashaf al-Khifa, number 2781. Hafiz Mullah Ariqadi in his Al-Asrar, number 126. Imam Ghazali's Ihya. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Kaaba will be received at the entrance of paradise like a bride on the day of resurrection, with every person who visited her on pilgrimage hanging onto her train, performing tawaf around her on that day until it enters paradise, when they will enter it. Subhanallah. Look how beautiful the image. So what did the Prophet say? The holy Kaaba is going to be like a bride on the day of resurrection. Bride. And what do you notice about brides? They have long gowns. And the Kaaba, it will enter paradise. Why? Because the Prophet said, all masjids are paradise. They go back to paradise. The first masjid is the Kaaba. That's first port of call. It will enter paradise. But does it enter paradise? It enters in a very unusual way. When it enters, anybody who went to perform pilgrimage, Hajj or Umrah, they will hold on to her, performing tawaf once again on the day of resurrection. Imagine, as you're entering paradise. Subhanallah, what a beautiful way to send off. You honored the house, Allah Ta'ala will now honor you before you enter paradise. Imagine entering paradise performing tawaf. You know, think, you know, can you get a head around that? You know, how are you entering paradise doing tawaf? Because the Kaaba is moving forward, you're going around it. And you're entering with it, and it's taking people in. So why did the Prophet mention that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Kaaba is the very pillar of Islam. The more you honor the holy house, the more Allah Ta'ala will honor you. Look at the words the Prophet uttered. What did I mention yesterday? You know, I mentioned those blessed words again. In Ibn Majah and Targhib, number 2112. Ma atyabak, how pure you are. Wa ma atyaba rihak, how pure is your aroma. Ma a'zamak, how immense you are. Wa ma a'zama hurmatak, how immense is your sanctity. The greatest of creation is praising the Kaaba. And he's praising it again and again and again and again. If anybody was to ask you, who knows everything about the Kaaba, every virtue of the Kaaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, you can see by the way he's uttering, this is something else. But the tragedy is, look at our connection to the Kaaba. Think about that. You know how tragic that is, isn't it? You know, people go there and they just waste their time, isn't it? Astaghfirullah. So note, the holy Kaaba is the grand mantelpiece of the pilgrimage, but it symbolizes Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you can move from the Kaaba to what's around the Kaaba. So now what's interesting, there's a holy verse in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 97. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Fihi ayatum bayyinat, in it are signs most clear. Fihi ayatum bayyinat, in it are signs most clear. The context of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that the Kaaba, around the Kaaba, they are clear signs. Now why did he say bayyinat? Because you don't need to go to a mufti. Even children understand. Allah Ta'ala goes, I've made it clear. So what are these clear signs? Allah Ta'ala said it in the Quran. There's clear signs there that you will understand if you've got any sense. So let's look at some of these signs which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, in his Kitab al-Athar number 266, many of the Salaf rahimuhum Allah, they've said, around the Kaaba are the graves of 300 prophets. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Around the Kaaba are the graves of 300 prophets. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So a person goes, what? Well, what do you think? What did I mention about Mina? 70 prophets are buried there, which is 3 miles to the east of Makkah. Around the Kaaba, 300 prophets, imagine, are buried there. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what do you notice? If two things are present anywhere on the earth, Allah Ta'ala blasts that area with too much blessings. One is the resting place of a prophet. The other is a relic of paradise. So if you got something from paradise on the earth, Allah Ta'ala blesses that place. And if you got a prophet buried there, He blesses that place. Both are around the Kaaba. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala didn't put one or two there. He put them both there. Think about it. We've discussed the Kaaba by itself, let alone talking about these immense blessings. The Kaaba by itself is amazing. Then somebody goes, oh, by the way, oh yeah, brother, what? 300 prophets are buried around. 300 prophets. Right? Did anybody tell you this? So when you're performing tawaf around the Kaaba, you're probably walking over the graves of prophets. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So the question goes to the mind, where are they buried? In Tabarani, Bazar Al-Haytami in Majma Az-Zawa'id 1-158, Al-Itqan, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 4, page 755 of the New English Translation. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he said, between the black stone and the Yemeni corner are the graves of several prophets. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When any of these prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, were harassed by his people, he then left them after their destruction to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that very place until he passed away to glory. Subhanallah. So let's break this down. So in this authentic report, the black stone, we're going to discuss this tomorrow inshallah. The black stone is where you start the tawaf. It's a stone of paradise. The Yemeni corner is the corner before it. So we're only basically talking about one side of the Kaaba. You know, so there's four sides to the Kaaba. One side, the Yemeni corner, the black stone. Between though that short distance, Ibn Abbas said several prophets are buried. Allahu Akbar. Several prophets, imagine. So when you're touching the Yemeni corner, who's under you? A prophet of God. Imagine. Anybody told you that? Or you taking selfies? Astaghfirullah. Right? There's a prophet of God under you and you're touching the Yemeni corner. Think about that. And as you're moving towards the black stone, you should be shaken in awe. People cracking jokes. Astaghfirullah. You think, what's happening here, brother? You know where you're standing. And as you get to the black stone, you'd expect something amazing to be there. Prophets are buried there. So when you're there, you see people who go understanding, they move to tears. They don't even dare speak. They're touching the Yemeni corner and they're weeping. Because they're thinking, Ya Allah, we don't, you know, you've blessed your prophets too much. You put them here, but the only way for me to get to the Yemeni corner is to stand close. You're asking for some sort of forgiveness. The black stone, people elbowing, kneeing. What is going on, brother? Astaghfirullah. There's several prophets. Now, what did Ibn Abbas then say? He said, how did they get there? He goes, they went there after their nation was destroyed. So what do we know about this? In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah Ta'ala is happy with the nation, the Prophet passes away amongst them. But if he's angry with the nation, he destroys the nation while the Prophet looks on. Have you understood this? So let's apply that to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was Allah the Almighty and Glorious happy with this ummah? Yes. Because the Prophet passed away amongst them. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was Allah the Almighty and Glorious happy with the nation of Nuh? No. Because they were destroyed and he saw them being destroyed. So now this very important point Ibn Abbas is making. It's not talking about those prophets who were happy with their nation. He's talking about prophets who had to witness the destruction of their nation. Now look how beautiful that is. Why? Because they're hurt. We know how much Nuh got hurt, alayhi salatu wasalam, when his nation was destroyed. Where did he go? Allah said, now go to the Kaaba. And what did they do? Ibn Abbas said, they worshipped there until they passed away to glory. So now somebody goes, okay, Allahu Akbar, that was kind of their retirement, you know, if I'm using the correct wording. Yes. So where was their retirement? The Kaaba Sharif. Secondly, another strange thing about the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is that when they pass away on the very spot of earth, they love to pass away. They're not like me and you. Allah Ta'ala first gives them a choice. Would you like to live? Would you like to pass away? That's the first choice given in Bukhari and Muslim. The second is the very earth under they pass away, they're buried there. Why? So you don't manhandle the prophets. You bury them. Look at the sanctity of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Keeping all that in mind, where did several of them pass away? Right next to the Yemeni corner. Right next to the Kaaba. Right next to the black stone. So it doesn't take a brain surgeon to work out what they were doing. They probably passed away with their hand on the Yemeni corner. They probably passed away with their blessed mouth or their hand on the black stone. Imagine. And as soon as they passed away, Allah, the command was bury them there. So what does that tell you about the Holy Kaaba? You know, when you go there, you can just sit there, you can just try to relay what I've been mentioning for the last 3, 4, 5 sessions. You're going to be blown away just sitting there thinking, where am I? What is this place? And then you get even scared approaching the Kaaba because you go veneration. Now you're thinking, hang on, brother, I can't just approach the Kaaba. Astaghfirullah, what are you doing? He goes, especially next to the Yemeni corner, you want me to go and touch the... I want to get into the right frame of mind, this, and there you go. Now you've got veneration. Don't go there all guns blazing, right? Look, giving dirty looks to brothers and sisters. Look at that idiot, right? You know what? You're not Blackpool, is he? Astaghfirullah. Right? So note, several prophets are buried right there. But don't forget, 300 are buried. We know of another one who's buried. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. He's buried in the Hijr. So if this sheet of paper is the Kaaba was like this sheet of paper. It's actually rectangular. It's not square. But it was some damage occurred to it. And the Quraysh made it into a cube. They ran out of funds. So there was a bit missing there. So what they did was they built a wall there. So they goes, look, this is the Kaaba. That's also the Kaaba. But this wall will signify that, you know, because we ran out of funds. Now look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how merciful He is. If they had not run out of funds, you'd have a rectangular Kaaba. Somebody goes, well, isn't that better? No. Because who's going to go in then? Only when the kings come, they open the door to the Kaaba. So look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He's made it in a way that you always get people going in there, into the Hijr. So this is called the Hijr. It's actually part of the Kaaba. Inside, you're in the Kaaba. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there. Inside the Kaaba was his status. Imagine somebody goes, are there any prophets buried in the Kaaba? We know one. Brother, one or 1,000, doesn't make no difference. Who is it? Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about that. The father of Rasulullah is buried in the Kaaba. And his mother, Bibi Hajar, is buried there as well. Radiallahu anhu. So when you enter the Hijr, you're thinking, you know, well, you know, you can't even put it into words. You're thinking, where am I now? People are looking at the Kaaba, they're getting, you know, they can't register what the Kaaba is because they're thinking, Allahu Akbar. Then they think, hang on, there's Anbiya here as well, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is why when you go, you pay your respects. The other thing, again, you have to mention the obvious now because people have lost the understanding. People think that these are just graves. Fruitcakes, right? So, you know, they've, mashallah, may Allah bless them. But they, you know, they've gone to Firdaus. Right? He said, brother, wake up and smell the roses, innit? Our belief, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah's belief is the prophets are alive in their graves. Their blessed blood is still flowing. They're worshipping in their graves. The Prophet said, I saw Musa praying Salat in his grave. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In Abu Ya'la, Sahih Hadith, Imam Sayyuti said, Mutawatir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the prophets are alive in their graves and they are praying. Now think about this. What's greater, Salat or Tawaf? Tawaf. Will the prophets do something less or something greater? Greater. So when the prophets are around the Kaaba and they were buried there, look how great their understanding is. They are teachers. Because we want to be buried at a place where we can do a unique act of worship, tawaf. They're doing tawaf with you. Imagine, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't start asking, can I see them? Don't worry about it, brother. It's not a physics lesson. Don't worry your little head about it, right? There's Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam doing tawaf with you. So when you're doing tawaf, if you've got any sense, you can make beautiful tawas. You can say, Ya Allah, I'm a sinful person. I ask you through the prophets who are doing tawaf now to forgive me for their sake. Anybody bother telling you that? Alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine, right? Anbiya constantly doing tawaf, thousands of years, right? 300 of them according to the report. Alayhi salatu wasalam. But are there any named prophets? So we know there's 300, but we'd like to know their names. We know there's one, Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a few of this. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, in his Kitab al-Athar number 267, many of the Salaf rahimahum Allah, they've said, the graves of Hud, Salih, and Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam are in Masjid al-Haram. Three more names are added. All of these three prophets are mentioned in the Quran. In a hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Hasan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Allah Ta'ala has sent 124,000 prophets. Only 27 or so are mentioned in the Quran. Now think about it. If there were prophets there that we didn't know anything about, we still love them because they're prophets. But who has Allah the Almighty and Glorious chosen? He's chosen the ones mentioned in the Quran. Ismail, Hud, Shu'ib, Salih. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Now you need to go through their lives. So let's look at it. Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, was his nation destroyed?
Yes.
And his nation was Ad. Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam, was his nation destroyed? Yes. His nation was the thicket, the people of the wood. Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, was his nation destroyed? Yes. His nation was Thamud. What did I mention? That is where the prophets went, whose nations were destroyed. Look how the authentic reports do not contradict. So you can say to somebody, brother, look, I don't know the names of all the prophets. May Allah forgive me. But I can mention a few of the 300. There's Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. There's Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. There's Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam. There's Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about that, right? We don't need to know, but Allah Ta'ala has even given us that knowledge as well. Now what's interesting, there's a grave for Hud in Yemen, alayhi salatu wasalam, because Qawmi Ad were from Yemen. That's correct. His nation was destroyed, so why is he going to linger about there for? Right? You know, think about it, just logically. If a nation is getting destroyed, a prophet doesn't hang about, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's gone. Where is he going? Ibn Abbas, because he went to the Haram. So think about that. You're going into the presence of the prophets of God, alayhi salatu wasalam. You're going into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going into the presence of relics of paradise. You're going into the presence of the angels. I'm going to mention all this inshallah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So what does Allah ta'ala just say simply in the Quran? Fihi ayatum bayyinat. In it are clear signs. There's clear signs. But the tragedy is, even the clear signs, we got blinkers on now. Imagine. You know, what I'm mentioning to you, do you need to verify it? Look how clear Allah has made these things. Absolutely clear. And what happens? You get a yearning. I need to go back. Why? Not for rewards. You're thinking just to, out of respect, to show proper, you know, love and veneration to the prophets of God. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Because you're thinking, last time I went, I didn't know what I was doing. Astaghfirullah. Belly Buddhist again. I think, what him? You know, people asking about dry fig. You know, do I need to uncover my... Don't worry about that, brother. You know, right? Let's talk about the important things. Do I need to be facing that way or this way? You know, what are you asking? And then he goes just with the mechanics, right? Doesn't know nothing about the heritage of that holy place. And this is why it was the first masjid And it was the last Qibla, and graciously it's been given to us. Alhamdulillah. So all I mentioned today was basically wrapped up with regards to the Holy Kaaba. Again, endless blessings, you know, subhanAllah. And then I mentioned the Holy Prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. You're going into their presence. So again, you need to be prepared for this, i.e. both physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Allah Ta'ala will graciously purify you for their sake, inshaAllah. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر